Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Our sermon text today is the epistle lesson appointed for the second Sunday in Easter. I read to you from 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Thus far the text. I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord God, we praise your name for the gift that you give us. You give us your word and faith to believe it. We invite you to come into our hearts now by your Holy Spirit and fill us with understanding of this word, and especially blessings, blessing it to our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our Lord, friends, as a preamble to our sermon text today, I'd like to start out by giving you this week's key verse, and those are always printed in your family worship folders. It's from the gospel lesson appointed for today. I read to you from John 20, verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Peace be with you. Wow, could we ever use some of that right now? A friend of mine told me that he had to go see his doctor this week and that he was the only one who walked into the doors of that practice. He sat alone in the waiting room. His doctor greeted him in her examination room wearing a gown, a face mask, a surgical mask, and an improvised visor. Then he went and after his exam, he went to the lab for blood work and stood outside the lab 6 feet away from anybody who was coming and going. And when he got into the lab, the young lady that took the samples, she tried to sound chipper, but he could tell that she was actually not doing very well. She was weary, he said. She'd been seeing about 100 clients a day, and coming home out of that environment and trying to keep her family safe was getting to her. Many of the clients as well, she said, were gracious and pleasant, but then there were the other ones. They were grumpy and harsh and insulting, and quite honestly, she confessed, she just didn't feel like even coming to work that day, let alone all the other ones that are still ahead of her. Another friend, a businessman, a friend of mine, was telling me they're all but shut down, and he and his wife were worried about their employees. They were also wondering what a post-COVID-19 world might look like, what the economic recovery would look like. Would there be a severe downturn in the economy? Still another friend that I saw on Facebook posted that they just lost a family member to COVID-19. Each one of these individuals could certainly have benefited from having some peace in their lives right now, that and hope. Perhaps you know someone who can identify with those struggles, or maybe you even yourself are struggling in those things right now, looking for peace. But peace in what? If we look for peace in worldly things, we know that we won't actually ever have peace. Mountains even erode. And if you consider that fact, then you'll understand the futility of putting your faith in earthly things. Everything that we consider peace-giving on this side of eternity is actually only temporary. Our health is temporary. It can last just till the next heartbeat, so to speak. Our wealth is temporary, too. Even if we amass great piles of gold, our wealth leaves our hand once we go into the grave. It's passed on to our heirs and successors, which sometimes might be good, but sometimes could be nightmarish as well. King Solomon, a billionaire of his in his own time, he wisely said, "I came to hate all my hard work here on earth, for I must leave to others everything that I've earned." And who can tell whether my successors will be wise or foolish? Yet they will control everything I've gained by my skill and hard work under the sun. How meaningless. So I gave up in despair, questioning the value of all my hard work in this world. That's probably the wisest thing that anybody could ever do. Not look at the work that you do as having value, but instead understanding that it is all temporal. Wisdom. How about wisdom? Solomon was a wise man. What about wisdom? Can wisdom last on and on and on? Well, we can certainly tell those around us what we've learned, but wisdom is fleeting as well, especially if it's handed over to fools. Fools quickly forget what wisdom has taught them, especially when sinfulness rules their hearts. Solomon's wisdom was quickly forgotten, and it was discarded, actually, by his successors. Biblical wisdom, very much the same thing. Just look around in this world that we live in. There's all sorts of godless people running around, and for that matter in the church, godless ministers who've all but abandoned the teachings of God's holy laws to the glory of sinful man. Of them, the Apostle Paul correctly wrote, "And although they know the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but give hearty approval to those who practice them." Romans 1:32. None of these things, in other words, lead to peace. Not health, not wealth, not worldly knowledge, not proclamation of false beliefs. They're only placebos, sugar pills given to placate dying souls. And in these trying times, we need something that's far more than just a placebo. We need something beyond ourselves to give us hope and peace. We need truth. Jesus came and spoke in undeniable truths. And among all the things that he proclaimed, he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Consider the truth of those words. Our Lord was destroyed. His disciples watched as he was arrested. They stood by and saw him tried. They saw from a distance how he was scourged and nailed to a cross, and they watched him die. But that wasn't all that they had witnessed. They were likewise participants in our Lord's resurrection, and their testimony is clear because it had to be proven first of all to them themselves. Unless I see in his hands the imprints of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hands into his sides, I will not believe. That's what Thomas said. And Jesus, in response to that, said, "Reach here with your finger, Thomas, and see my hands. And reach here with your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing." What else could Thomas say than, "My Lord and my God"? The truth of the resurrection was standing right there before him, so real that it could be seen and grasped. In that exchange, the permanence of death was replaced with a new permanence, a permanence in life. Uncertainty gave way to certainty, and fear and sorrow gave way to peace and hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. All that's ours. All that's ours. The testimony of the earthly witnesses, the testimony of the disciples, of the apostles, served only as a starting point for the testimony of the Holy Spirit. He, by faith, is reinforcing everything that we know about Christ Jesus our Lord, the stuff that we received in the Word, and helping us to believe without seeing our Lord. Praise God. And it gives us a new strength, a new hope, right? Christ is the authority over all things, including life and death. We're held in his nail-scarred hands and safeguarded by him to all eternity. That's a powerful statement. And actually here, when it says the power of God is the thing that's safeguarding us, the power of God destroyed death once and for all. And the verb for being guarded in this sense is actually the military term to hold a post over and to watch, specifically with the idea of defending. Yes, there will be trials, especially in this COVID-19 world. What started out as fear of not having enough toilet paper has certainly evolved now to a place where people are fearful of breathing the same air as that of our neighbor. Everything that we had as routine has been upset. The kids are at home, and so too are many of the parents. The bills are piling up, and the government keeps telling us the stats have not indicated any kind of downturn. People are dying. There's hardship, people are getting ill, they're dying, but we are still in our Lord's perfect hands. Those nail-scarred hands hold dominion over everything, and they will to all time. Satan has no power to destroy. Try as he might, he can assail us, but he will fall to defeat every time because of the blood of our Savior. In that sense, we can go right back to where we started this sermon out originally, confident of receiving the same blessing that our disciples, our brother disciples, received on that first Easter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Peace be with you, my friends. Christ be with you, and with him his hope. You are God's children under his care. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to pray. Lord God, we praise your name for what it is that you've accomplished for our sake. You've put a truth before us that is undeniable. The death and resurrection of your Son, it's real. And we just ask, Lord God, that you help us to understand in faith that you are always with us and giving us strength. We pray for all our caregivers and all those people that are essential workers that are out taking care of us even now. We ask that you bless them and especially safeguard their hearts. Give them the same confidence that you give us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.